Come on.
Nei te pito ne tapu ka hurara ka takata atai a ki roto o takaroa a ki te moana o te whanganui a tara ka atu tēnei a hau kei raro i te maru o ka taumata tapu teitei a te ahu mairangi a puke ahu a motu kairangi a mātairangi e toka ahuru he toka marino. E tū tonu hei whakamaru mō tātou. Ka whakaroko ake au ki te taki a te keo. E karaka mai nei, e pōhiri mai nei, e mihi mai nei ki a mātou nei. E hui mai ai kei raro nei. Ka huri ahau, ōku whakaro ki kā takata whenua, kā mana whenua o tēnei rohe, o te atiawa. O Taranaki whānui, hei mihi atu ki a koutou i tautoko ana ki ka whakaro ka taki a te manu tapu. Ka tū hoki a hau hei waha kōrero mō tēnei rōpū a tī whanawhana, te pātaka aroha, mō te huka takatāpui, tū huka irawhiti i tēnei rohe, nō reira. Tēnā koutou, rauraka tira mā, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Wahau tēnei, he uri o tahu pōtiki whānui no te wakati pua Māui, tiki tiki a Taraka. E mihi ana, e tautoko ana, a ki te whakaro a tī whanawhana, kia koutou o kā whānau, o te kaupapa o te rā. Ko te kaupapa o te rā, ko Chrissy, ko Carmen. Anō reira kia koutou o ka whānau a Chrissy no Ngāti Kahunganu, a whānau a Carmen no Ngāti Maniapoto, Ngāti Heke Awei, Ngāti Haua, tēnā koutou. Nau mai hoki mai, kei Waikanui e a tātou tō whānau hoki. Anō reira, ka hoki ka maumahara ki te kaupapa, ki a Carmen, ki a Chrissy, kua whetu rakitia i tēnei rā. Ka hoki rātou, kei Waikanui e a rātou, etahi o, o ōnā hoa, o koutou kōrua hoa, o kōrua whānau, whanauka. Ko rātou ka whetū mo tō tātou hapori, te kāhui, o te kōpere, o te tīwhanawhana, o te kahukura, o te āniwaniwa, o te uanuku putanoa, o tēnei hapori, o tēnā, o tēnā. Anō reira te whakaro nunui kia rātou. A kāti tēnā, a huri no kia koutou o ka takata whakahirahira o tēnei rā. Kei tēnei whare e tūana, hei whakaruru hau. Ka pau o te whare, a Mel, a Scotty, tēnā kōrua. Kia koutou o ka takata whakahirahira no te Pride NZ Trust, te Chrissy Wetoko Memorial Trust, me hoki Wellington City Council, tēnā koutou, me hoki me te mea, me ngā political candidates katoa o ia taha kia kaha tondu koutou. Nō reira kia koutou katoa putanoa o te whare whānui, tēnā koutou, nei rā te mihi, nei rā te aroha, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, a tēnā tātou katoa.
Tōrunga ōraro, ka rangatea ki te tai whakarungara, ka rangatea ki te tai whakararora, haere mā,
haere maira,
haere mā,
e karanga tēnei,
e karanga tēnei ki ngā iwi e. Orunga, oraro o te mananui a kiwa. Ki au te aro ae, ki te mananui a tara.
Paia atura,
paia atura te wai wai o te heke, i heke mai nei te mokai o mtugangi. Ki au te aro ae, nākura maro tēnei tāpai nāe.
Eke
pānuku, eke tangaro, haramai te toke, haumi e hui e taiki e. Karangatia ki te tai whakarungara, karangatia ki te tai whakararora. Haere mā,
haere mai,
haere mā,
haere mai tīpana.
Tīpana whana e kahukura i te rangi, kei runga mō neke i te mana rakawae.
He kaupapa,
he kaupapa nui, me ara ke ue nuku.
Eke pānuku,
eke pānuku, eke tangaroa, haramai te toki, haumi e hui e taiki e.
Eke pānuku,
eke pānuku, eke tangaroa, haramai te toki, haumi e hui e taiki e.
Karangatiara,
karangatia ki te tai whakarungara, karangatia ki te tai whakararora. Haere mā,
haere mai,
haere mai,
haere mai,
haiha, ki raro.
Whakatau, whakatau, araki e tūnei, whakatau, a papatūnuku e tako tūnei. Tite a kia oho, tite a kia wātea, tite a ki te puhu o tāne nui āraki. Tūturu mai kia whakamaua, kia tīna.
Tīna.
Aumi e, kui e,
tāi ki e.
Kia ora tātou. Kia ora.
Oh, kia ora tātou. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to S&M's this afternoon. I'm Malcolm Kennedy Vaughan, and it's an honour and a privilege to be your MC for this afternoon's proceedings. A few things I'd like to get out of the way. In case of an emergency, there's an emergency exit straight down the back down here. It's very unlikely, but just to let you know it's there. Okay, I'd like to say some thank you now, and that's to Te Whanawhana, our Māori cultural group, Wellington City Council, Pride New Zealand, the Chrissy Wutuku Memorial Trust, for making this afternoon 100% extremely possible. I would also like to acknowledge His Worship the Mayor of Wellington, Andy Foster. We have the MP for Central Wellington, the Right Honourable Grant Robinson, Glendy Hughes from the Greater Wellington Regional Council, and Simon Witoko. We do have a message from Jürgen and Robin, who are in Sydney and unfortunately can't be with us this afternoon, but we do have a message from them, which will be read later on. And, of course, from the Officer of the New Zealand Order of Merit, Jackie Grant. Okay, they're going to be our speakers this afternoon. It's going to be a fabulous afternoon. And I think you've all been across the road and seen the seats. And they look fantastic, absolutely fantastic. There's flags up on the stage. If you have not signed the flags, could you please do so before you leave this afternoon? Right now, I'd like to invite our first speaker up from the Greater Wellington Regional Council. Yes, it's you, darling. Glendy Hughes and Simon Witoko.
I have to tell you that I thought it was only going to be Simon. I thought I was here on his coattails. Obviously not. But look, thank you very, very much for asking me to speak, because I think as I look around me at the moment and I see my last 50 years in front of me, because it was 1970 when I met Chrissy, and she bequeathed me her brother reluctantly about 30 years later. And Chrissy, I at that stage, some of you may know, I at that stage was a policewoman, and Chrissy was what I called the social worker. She looked after everybody. Didn't matter who they were, didn't matter where they came from, Chrissy looked after them. And just one little funny story that I thought was absolute reflection of Chrissy was I used to keep in touch with her, because I don't know whether you know, but we still live on the corner of Vivian and Marion Street, so we will be losing the seats. And I walked up the road. I used to sometimes pop up about 2 o'clock in the morning just to make sure that everything was peaceful and all the rest of it. And I walked up and I saw this, that the roller door was down on the front of the Evergreen, which is very unusual at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I knocked on the door and I got in and I said, "What's the problem?" And she said, "Oh, Mr. Barrymore's here and he's pretty drunk and I didn't want the public to see. So I've pulled down the roller door." And about 15 minutes later, an extended Cadillac came past. Two people came rushing in, picked up Barrymore, took him out, put him in the Cadillac, and drove off. And the next morning there was a story in the Sunday News about how he'd given up drinking. So, I don't want to hold your time. Thank you very much for inviting me. I know this might sound unusual, but this has been my community for many, many years. And you've looked after me, and I've tried to look after you, and Chrissy certainly looked after me, and she did bequeath me a very special present, so I'll hand over to him. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm Chris's brother and the last of the siblings, so it's been a pleasure and a blessing of being here. I'm a little short with words, but I play a lot. So if you just bear with me while I do this.
This is my brother,
Do one more after this one here. Also, I remember that my father taught us, as with Christmas were.
Thank you.
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you, Simon, and thank you, Glenda. And I'm sure you have many more stories to tell about those nights around at the Evergreen. That's for sure. As I mentioned earlier on in the piece, there was two of Carmen's executors that were living in Sydney, great dear friends of Carmen's, and that was Jürgen Hoffman and Robin Warira Hargraves. Unfortunately, they can't be with us this afternoon, but at this stage they have made a contribution, and I'd like to invite their dearest friend, Virginia Lum, to come and read their message. Virginia?
Thank you very much. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. I'm not very good at te reo or te kanga, but I'm doing my best. Just a quick note before we get on to the serious stuff. I come over from Australia and Sydney, and in February next year, Sydney is going to host World Pride. Now, Pride is everything in the whole queer community, right? And some people say Sydney is the gay capital of the Southern Hemisphere. But to me, I look out here on what we're doing here today and what the council's doing and Pride New Zealand's doing, and everything about the community and what the organisations are doing to support the community far surpass anything that Sydney does. So, congratulations. Now on to the serious stuff. Now, Rob, I don't know whether you know Robin and Jürgen, but Robin is from Aotearoa. And Jürgen is from Germany, so I don't know what accent to read this in. I'll give it a go. Philip Sherry. Anyone who knows Philip Sherry? Here is the news. A note from Robin Waira and Jürgen Hoffman, Sydney. Unfortunately, we cannot be in person to share with you the recognition being bestowed on these two individuals today. Thank you for the opportunity to share a few words on this special occasion. It is indeed a special occasion championed by Pride New Zealand and others to acknowledge two of the forerunners of our strong community. Whilst there are others, Carmen's and Chrissy's contribution are noteworthy for their respective efforts. Both carried their voices to speak up for our community when others felt that they could not. And that's really important. Reflecting on our dear friend Carmen, she had no fear, was gracious in all her dealings, and never had a bad word about anyone. That's unlike me. Even when others took advantage, Carmen would take that in her stride. She was amazing. We're so grateful that Carmen's legacy continues, and she'll be so proud of today's event. Thank you to the Mayor of Wellington and supporters in making this a reality. Yet those who sit, lie, and lean on the park benches feel the resolve of these two individuals to give them the strength and courage to forge ahead. These two women are wahine toa. Ngā mihi. Thank you.
Thank you, Virginia, and please pass on our thanks to Robin and Jürgen also. And there's now a great pleasure for me to invite His Worship the Mayor of Wellington up to say a few words. Thank you. Come on, big hand for the Mayor.
Kia ora mau, ana mana ana reo, ana rangatira ma, tēnā koutou te whānau. And it really does feel, it's a real honour to be able to come into this room, to this community. It feels like being part of a family gathering in some ways, certainly what we've just heard from Si, Glenda, and it really does feel an honour and a privilege to be part of this gathering, because I didn't know either Carmen or Chrissy personally. I'll say I was a bit young, a bit too young for that, but some people might beg to differ. I'm younger than I look. Anyway, look, I just want to start off by saying just thank you to everybody who's helped to put this event together, to Gareth and Pride New Zealand. Awesome job. Scotty and Mel. And in some ways you carry on that legacy in many ways that Carmen and Chrissy, started, to providing a place that people can come to, a place that people can feel safe, and it is their place. I mean, people should be able to, whoever we have got in this city should be able to feel safe wherever they are in their city, should be able to feel respected for who they are, wherever they are. But sometimes it's really good to have a place that you know is a special place, And so Scotty and Mel, thank you. And it was beautiful to be able to acknowledge you two as part of our Absolutely Positively Wellington Awards recently. And thank you for the beautiful words that you said there, Mel in particular. And just to all the friends and whānau of Chrissy and Carmen, it's great to be with you. And to Grant, acknowledge you as well. Fabulous to have you here. And I know you're going to say a few words shortly. Look, we're here to unveil plaques to celebrate the lives of these two Wahine Toa. And the contribution that they've made. And I guess we often say that we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before, the people who have blazed trails. And absolutely that is true of Chrissy and of Carmen. They definitely blazed trails in the city. Not only did they run some establishments that were well known around the city. Glenda, my notes say well known to the police. I don't know which role you had there. You being the guardian angel or not. But actually, we were having a conversation the other day about running the chemist shop in Cooper Mall. And no break-ins, and then but having served the trans community in particular, and some of the trans community then saying, look, you know, we're looking after this place, and you know, we're going to make sure that the place is kept safe. So you know, there's a real sense of that community here in this place, and they brought a lot of glamour to what was a grey public service city, completely unlike what we've got today. That you know, the walk shorts and all that sort of thing. So they blazed a trail in that way, but they also blazed a trail, as I said, in that. Providing a safe haven and a place to look after the LGBTQI plus community, and that is just so important. I understand, far too young at the time, but understand that there was there were maybe some of the alcohol regulations were breached at the time. But dodgy, you know, the late night cafes had a dash of alcohol in. And maybe, Grant, that might be something we do need to have a look at the Sale and Supply of Liquor Act to make it just a little bit more flexible, a little bit more genteel. So there's a little hint. But look, I think it's just really, really great to be able to have these two women celebrated in the plaques that we have just around the corner there. I'm a real fan of telling the stories of our city and of the people who have made our city what it is. And there is absolutely no doubt that they have made a significant contribution to where we are. We have three po in our city council strategy. That sounds really boring. They're about sustainability. That's not boring at all. That's really important. They're about creativity, whether it's arts, culture, business, those sort of things. They're also about inclusivity. And those are the three things that I talk about all the time. It's so important that we are an inclusive city. And that story is a story about the inclusion of our community. And look, I just wanted to mention just some of the things that we've done, and thank you for the kind words at the beginning. Some of the things that we've been doing over the last little while, we've established the Takatupui Rainbow Advisory Council to provide a voice. It's not the only voice. It's not the only voice by any stretch for the rainbow community, but it is an important formal voice, if you like, in front of the council. We've supported Queer at Council to ensure that our own rainbow staff are supported in the workplace. And we're also in the process of setting up a dedicated rainbow staff member to help support that advisory group. As I said, we've given APW awards, Absolutely Positively Wellington awards recently to Scotty and Mel, and last year we had one for Georgie Girl as well, amongst others. So we want to recognise the members of our rainbow community. And then one of the things that we've been asked about is that we have a space for the rainbow community within the council's fabric of facilities. And we are, I think this week, we will see orange hard hats and vests in the Te Matapihi, our new library, and the construction work starting to happen. And there will be a room in that building which is able to be used, not exclusively by any particular group, but be able to be used by any group, you know, being booked or whatever, as a safe, quiet space that people can go and enjoy there. And then there's a bit from my speech notes which is about the library. Just don't expect a splash of brandy in your coffee at the library cafe. That is unlikely. And as I said, Grant, if we can sort out the liquor licensing rules, then maybe we can get that one fixed. And look, I did want to mention one other thing which we've done in the last 3 years, and that was when we had all the controversy around the births, deaths, marriages and relationships bill, and we had Speak Up for Women, and it was very, very clear that, quite rightly, people have the right to be able to speak and to say what they want to say, Although, when you've got the right, you've also got the responsibility to make sure you exercise that in a way which doesn't hurt people or harm people. That's really, really important. And at that time, we said, and Councillor Fitzsimons, who's somewhere in the back over there, there she is, Councillor O'Neill, and I said, look, we did some work together with Michael Algar, who's my Chief of Staff, and we said, look, we want to make sure that the trans community knows that their city, their council, is standing behind them. And so while the Speak Up for Women were meeting inside the Michael Fowler Centre, we were lighting it up outside. And we had the trans flag colours all over the building, and the community gathering together outside with the trans flag. And that was about saying, we are with you. And that's a really, really important message of inclusiveness. Look, just to finish off, I have to mention, given that I am in the latter stages of a mayoral campaign, Carmen, of course, had one of the highest profile mayoral campaigns I think we've probably ever seen in the city in 1977, supported, I think, by the redoubtable Bob Jones as well. It's an interesting combination there. And she stood for extending opening hours for bars, lowering the drinking age, legalising sex work, and she finished that high-profile campaign. It says here in my notes, in a respectable fourth. Fourth's not respectable. It's only first is the only one that works. But never mind. She certainly made her point. But in my 30 years of politics and seeing a whole lot of different, sometimes more and sometimes less effective slogans, there is no doubt that hers was unique. Anybody remember what it was?
Get in behind.
Yeah, absolutely. So look, the legacy left by both Carmen and Chrissy has been huge in looking after the LGBTQI plus community. I thank all of those who, like Scotty and Mel, are involved in making sure that legacy continues to this day. And look, it's a really special thing to have these plaques which tell their story, remind us of them, and I think it's something which should be a source of pride, but also just telling our stories, who we are and where we've come from. So congratulations, everybody, in making this day happen. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa.
Thank you, Andy. That was fantastic. And it's great to see that we do actually have a council that gets behind us 100%. We've got our rainbow crossing. We've got Carmen on the traffic lights, and now we've got these seats across the road there to celebrate two amazing wahine toa that led us in our early days to show us where we are today. Fantastic. Thank you, Andy. My next guest is fantastic. She doesn't need no introduction whatsoever. She's an officer of the New Zealand Order of Merit. Could you please welcome on stage the fabulous Jackie Grant?
Kia ora whānau. It is my absolute honour to have been asked to speak here today and to give you some insight into two ladies that were and still are two of the most important people in my life, and to tell you about life for the rainbow community in Wellington through the 60s and early 70s from my perspective. When I think about Chrissy and Carmen, or Carmen and Chrissy, I can't help but think, same but different. I first met Carmen way back in 1958. In Sydney, she was already a showgirl, and I was a 14-year-old wannabe. Right from the start, glamour was Carmen's thing. Being seen, being photographed, and she did that with spades. She knew she was beautiful, and she capitalised on it right to her last days. And I was fortunate enough to do the eulogy at her funeral in Sydney. I seem to get this job of doing eulogies, I think. It was because of Carmen that myself and two other queens, Gina Lamore, and I guess there'll be some people here that will remember these names, and Natalie Parker came to New Zealand. And, of course, another factor was New Zealand was the only country one could travel to without a passport in those days. And that was very fortuitous as the Sydney cops were chasing us. And we had to get here. I remember well Carmen in Wellington doing her drumming up business walks in the middle of the day up Cuba Street. She was like a stately galleon, loud, proud, hair up to the heavens, flowers in her hair. I've actually still got two of those flowers at home, those artificial flowers. And wearing every colour of the rainbow. She always made a point of smiling and greeting everyone she passed. And she had a unique ability of remembering people's names. So she would greet people by name. It was quite incredible. But, you know, you'd be walking along and, oh, and how are you? And she'd say their name. As I said before, she was the consummate showgirl and one of the best self-promoters I've ever met. Carmen was her own agent. And wherever she went, she made sure the media were close by. I remember just before Chrissy's 60th birthday, I'd just arrived from the West Coast, went and saw Chris, who told me Carmen had arrived, and she was in room 210, I think it was, at the St. George Hotel. So I went up to say hello and found her on the telephone. She was talking to the local press and TV stations. She had them on speed dial. She was telling them that Carmen was about to arrive at the airport to attend an important function. Next minute, didn't have any time for me. She was back in the limo that Chrissy had organised to pick her up from the airport a couple of hours before. Back in the limo and back out to the airport to meet the paparazzi. Next minute, Chrissy's function sort of went by the by in the Dominion the next morning. There was Carmen on the front page. Quite incredible. Carmen was very generous with her staff, always out at different restaurants, always paying the bill. Money wasn't particularly important to Carmen. It was all about the show. Always making sure her girls looked glamorous as that show went on 24/7. One of my fondest memories of Wellington was Sunday nights. And we'd all go to the midnight movies at the Roxy Theatre in Manor Street. It was managed by Jeanette and Jack Groves, two early Wellington icons. Going right back to the early days, those. And the midnight movies in the Roxy Theatre showed horror films on a Sunday night at midnight. And those horror films shown on a Sunday night were often interspersed by the large rat running across the upstairs balcony rail. We call it the flea pit or something. And then you'd hear the odd bang. And that'd be where someone had had a cockroach crawl over them and a quick stiletto sent the cockroach to heaven. It was a place, but we all went. Carmen's girls, Chrissy's girls, Sherelle's girls, my girls, we all went there. When I say girls in those days, I say it very loosely, everyone was girl. Gay boys, lesbians, drag queens, trannies, everybody who wanted to be part of that scene. And we walked everywhere. We didn't have cars. And what a sight it must have been at 3:30 a.m. seeing all this cacophony of rainbow culture heading out of the Roxy, false eyelashes falling off, the odd broken high heel, with the first stop always to the hot bread shop in Manor Street, who by that time of the morning had the tastiest treats for sale. Sometimes it was the only meal we had that day. Then up Cuba Street, where everyone would start to disperse to their various flats and accommodation. In those days, we were a real community. We had each other's backs. When one was down, others were there to pick up the pieces. Something that makes me sad today is to see how ready we are to tear each other down rather than uffying all of our community. People like Carmen, Chrissy, and many others were the public face of the whole rainbow community, out and proud, same but different. I met Chrissy about 1963-64 after arriving in Wellington, and from that very first meeting we became firm friends for so many years. One of my saddest days ever was being with Chrissy in Wellington Hospital, along with Malcolm and Daniel and quite a lot of us when Chrissy passed away. And a testament to Chris was the amount of people who attended her tangi. There must have been way over 1,000 people walked through that marae. over those 3 days, and probably closer to a couple of thousand. They came in busloads. There were politicians. There were people from all walks of life, business people. There were gay people. There were trans people. But it was that wide reach that she had in her dealings with people that she transcended a lot of things and just very calmly and quietly went along. She was a tireless worker and a really humble person. She once told me she did not care if she was washing dishes in someone else's business for a living. It wasn't beneath her, as long as it was honest work. And what a wonderful quality to have. No sense of entitlement whatsoever. Chrissy never really sought the limelight, but nevertheless over the years, the community came to recognise her dedication and substance. And today, you're in the limelight, girl, whether you want it or not. She loved her community and showed that love in so many tangible ways. Whether it was a tangi or some other fundraising event, Chris was there with her sleeves rolled up and ready to help. And we go right back to the early Alexis Kennedy days, and every time there was something happened in the community, Chris was there. She was regal. Her presence was such that when she went out to a function or just on one of her I need to be seen as it reminds them that the evergreen is open, there was never ever any doubt when she walked into a club, a room or a bar that the Queen had arrived. Even in the early days when Chris worked out on the wharf in the kitchen, she drank at the bistro bar at the Royal Oak. We all drank at the bistro bar at the Royal Oak. She was the natural head of the table. And God help any hapless queen, seaman or hood that got out of control near her. That look put terror in their hearts, and I'm sure a lot of you know that look from being in the evergreen and playing up a little bit, and you'd get that look and you'd shut up. And her right hook wasn't too bad either. The look failed. Chris was lucky. She had a very rare thing in our community, a very supportive family. And it's wonderful to see her brother Si and his partner Glenda here today. I first met Glenda. Here it comes. I first met Glenda when Chrissy ran the Sunset Strip. I well remember one night getting wind that the cops were around, so I quickly closed my bottle store, which was up in the back corner of Heaven, and some of you older people will know the Sunset Strip, but it was divided into two parts, Heaven and Hell, and the rainbow side was Heaven and Hell was the rough trade side. The bottle store existed to supply whiskey to thirsty Japanese seamen and their companions. I headed out through the kitchen to stash my stock. There was a batch out the back where Chrissy lived with Auntie Rungu, my then partner's mother's sister, and later Anaru, the love of Chrissy's life. To get there, I had to go through the kitchen, and sitting on the bench in the kitchen was this pair of long legs, clad in thigh-high leather boots, looking every bit like Emma Peel. In a bloody police uniform, talking to Chrissy, and it was our lovely Glenda Hughes. I nearly shit my pants. I could have sworn those whiskey bottles were making a racket in my bag. But out I went and stashed the booze to sell another day. It was, of course, Wellington's most glamorous policewoman, Glenda Hughes. And I think she had lots of arguments about wearing those boots back in those days, didn't you? She never said a word, even though I'm sure she could hear those whiskey bottles clanking in my bag. Both Carmen and Chrissy were the same but different in their delivery of our message, that we were not to be feared or ridiculed. Rather, we were to be admired and celebrated, each of us the same but different. Both of them, in their own way, did us proud and were true pioneers for the rainbow community. They both, in their own way, provided the trans part of the community with much-needed stability and employment. So many girls gave up their consultancy businesses on Marion and Vivian Street to work for Chrissy and Carmen. Both supplied safe spaces for the wider Rainbow community, especially Chrissy at the Evergreen, which she ran for around 20 plus years. A remarkable run for a Rainbow business catering to a nighttime crowd in Wellington. They are now icons to be celebrated and to go down into our Rainbow history and New Zealand's wider history. Can I hold your attention for just a few more minutes? I would like to briefly touch on life in Wellington in those early days from my perspective. We've often heard how hard life was, how victimised we were, with police continually chasing us, police bashings, being thrown in jail, and the venom of the wider community. I can tell you, as a community, we had a reasonably good relationship with police. It was not illegal to be in drag in New Zealand. We have Carmen to thank for that, but that is another story. On the whole, the police were actually good to the girls in those early days and often turned a blind eye to club owners who were pushing liquor laws to the nth degree. Police were hardly ever a problem to the girls on Marion and Vivian Street. In my opinion, it wasn't the police who were our enemies. It was a judgmental public and the culture of the politics of the day. And like David and Goliath, we squished them good. Recently, an old friend was waxing on about how terrible the police in Wellington were, how they were always chasing us, bashing us and targeting us because of our gender or sexuality. What she said was not actually the reason for police actions in our community, but rather, I reminded her, in those days she was up in Home Street, hanging out a window with a needle in one arm and selling drugs to anyone who called by with the other. I reminded her that care needs to be taken, not to be revisionary about our history with Wellington Police, especially when making those sorts of statements while our history is being recorded, particularly given the actual context of police actions were, more often than not, as a direct result of criminal activity in our community, unrelated to gender or sexuality. I'm not saying it was all beer and Skittles by any means, but given we were the identifiable face of the Rainbow community, it could have been a lot worse. A lot of thanks must go to our icons Chrissy and Carmen, who are being honoured today as representatives of our wider Rainbow community. They provided hope and they showed by example that anything was possible for our community. And look at us now. We've had the first Rainbow Mayor, Georgina Beyer. First out Rainbow Member of Parliament was Chris Carter, quite a long, many years ago now, followed by many other Rainbow MPs, all showing us anything is possible. Now, thanks to those people who put their necks on the line, we have the change. Back in our day, if you were in drag, things were different. No one would employ you, and opportunities were limited to being self-employed consultants, nightclub owners, showgirls, etc. Thanks to people like Chrissy and Carmen, we can now be whoever we want to be, same but different. And just to conclude, I'm going to give this to Malcolm, put on the counter. If anyone would like a spray, this was Chrissy's favourite perfume, White Diamonds. Everywhere she went, she left a trail of White Diamond smell behind her. So there's a bottle of White Diamonds to put on the counter, and anybody who wants to give it a squirt, go for it. Thank you.
You know, it's true, Chrissy was a very caring person, an amazing person. She looked after every one of us. And she was also very staunch at times. I remember, very briefly, I was working for the Dominion Tavern with Larry and Janelle Phillips, which is now where Moore Wilson stands. It was the old Dominion Tavern Hotel. And I was doing the lunchtime shift, and the phone rings, and I pick it up, and it's Chrissy. "Hello, darling." She said, "Is that you, Mel?" I said, "Yes, it is." "Oh, it's me, darling. It's Chrissy. Is Anuru down there?" And I went, yes, he's here, love. She said, "Oh, don't tell him." She said, "I'm going to pop down and have a drink with him." She said, "Don't tell him I called." I said, "Okay, sure enough." She stormed in that fucking door. Slap, slap, slap. I told you not to ring the baby to the pub. She switched off with Nicholas and out the door she went. I don't think I ever saw Andrew back in the pub again for a long time. Well, our next guest speaker this afternoon is a man who wears many, many hats. He is the MP for Wellington Central. He is the Minister of Finance and the Deputy Prime Minister. Could you please welcome on stage our best friend, Grant Robinson.
Tihe mori ora, imhiana na mana whenua ki tēnei rohi a Taranaki whānui te upaka o te ika, tēnā koutou. Ena mana, ena rea, ena whānau, ena hoe whā, tēnā koutou, katoa. The thing you really want late on a Saturday afternoon is a speech from a politician, isn't it? So I'll do my best to keep it very short. And actually, the words that have already been spoken today have been truly beautiful. And I don't have a lot to add, to be honest. I arrived in Wellington I first started coming to Wellington as an out gay man in the early 90s. And I came to live here in the mid 90s. And the Evergreen was a place I went. The toasted sandwiches really weren't as good as everybody said they were. That was just the excuse everybody gave to go to the Evergreen. But even for me in those early days, it was a place of refuge. And I got to know Chrissy a little bit after that and had so much admiration for her and for Carmen as well. And I'm so delighted that today we are able to celebrate them, their contribution, and the contribution of the people they helped build up. And Jackie, you hit the nail on the head. I often think about the fact that I get to be the Deputy Prime Minister as a gay man. You know? I mean, that comes from the people who went before, who blazed trails across our communities. And there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that Carmen and Chrissy are those. I thought about Carmen's campaign slogan for me in Wellington Central and then thought, no. might not get me up above fourth place, Andy. When I first came to Wellington, actually the places I frequented were all the ones that Mel was tending bar at, and you know, Mel's standing on the table at Casper's or at the Oaks, screaming to everyone to shut up before someone came on. And for me, I grew up down in Dunedin in a quite traditional Presbyterian family upbringing, and Dunedin didn't have much of a gay scene. And I guess what I've reflected on coming there and what I've heard today is about that sense of place and sense of belonging. And that's what I think of when I think of Carmen and Chrissy in Wellington. That sense of it being a place where you would be welcomed, where you'd be celebrated for who you were, where you'd be told off when you stepped out of line, but you were loved for who you were. And a few years ago, and apologies to those in the room who've heard me talk about this before, I was asked to do a speech about my vision for Wellington. And I was Googling around on the internet trying to find the right words. And I came across a speech by a woman in America. Her name is Marina Keegan, if you ever want to look her up. And she talked about the fact that in our English language, we don't have a single word for the opposite of loneliness. And I said that I wanted Wellington to be the opposite of loneliness, where everybody feels included and accepted and welcomed and celebrated. And we don't get it right every day or every month or every year, but overall we get it right more often than other places do. And I think that's what Carmen and Chrissy created, was the sense of a place to belong and to be that could be the opposite of loneliness. And if I can just be political for one moment before I finish, never ever think the job is done. Because we live in an era where we see more anger and hatred and discrimination arising. And as communities represented here today, it's our job to stop them. It's our job to do as Jackie said, same but different, bring us all together, recognise who we are, celebrate takatāpui, celebrate who we are here, because only by doing that and sticking together will we put those forces of bigotry and discrimination back down where they belong. So I want to say, Ngā mihi nui ki a kōrua, thank you to these two, to Carmen and Chrissy, for helping create the world in which we can all be who we are, we can celebrate one another, we can protect one another, and that we can continue to make this city and this place the opposite of loneliness. Kia ora koutou.
Oh, thank you, Grant. And I've just on that note, we were saying it's so proud to be a gay man and to be the Deputy Prime Minister. You know, every time your husband Alf comes in here, I keep on telling him, you know, one day you are going to be the First Lady.
One day I'll ring you up and do exactly what Nanaru did as well.
We want to come to the opening party at the big house, okay? Well, look, that concludes our part of speeches for this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. So I'd like to kindly ask you now to proceed upstairs and safely cross the road, where we'll continue this afternoon's events and the unveiling of these magnificent seats. Thank you.
Pero pero I te pu tahi tana.
Aku nei,
aku nei a koe. E tuku kia haere.
Tera puritia,
tera puritia iho. Nui rawa te aro.
Tēnā tātou, ke mihi a rapu hea whai a ki tūru tapu nui o tāne. Tāne te waiora, tāne te wānaka, tāne te tokoraki, puta ki te whai au ki tāu mārama. tu, te kana tu, te maraka, te tuhi, te rarama, e noho te matara nei. E roko, whakere ake ki roka, kia tina, tina, haumi e, hui e, taeki e. Hara mai, kōrua tahi, hei hiki, hei hura, ka turu. Come now, please, and unveil the seat.
Carmen Luca, 1936 to 2011. Ngāti Mania Poto, Ngāti Haua, Ngāti Heke Awai, I Rawhiti Takatāpui. It is your ancestors, your tīpuna, that give you the strength to survive today.
Hurihi te aroaro ki te rā tukuna o te atarangi kia taka ki muri I a koe. Turn and face the sun and let the shadows fall behind you. Chrissy Witoko, 1944 to 2002. Ngāti Kahungu, Irawhiti, Takatāpui.
Tēnā kōrua. Tui, tui, tūtuia. Tuia te hihiri tapu o I o te raki no te kahu o te auraki. Kōkiri te ara ki te araraki. Ka whakaputaina te mai o hā o tāwhiri mātea. Me hoki te ira, Irawhiti Takatāpui, ki roto I enei turu, hei noho mō ake tonu atu tūturu, mai kia whakamaua, kia tīna, tīna, haumi e, hui e, taeki e. A whakatau, a whakatau, a whakatau, a raki e tū nei, whakatau, a papatūnuku e takoto nei, titi aki e opo, titi aki a wātea, Titi aki te poho o tāne nui, araki tu tiru, mai kia whakamaua kia tīna, tīna, haumi e, hui e, tai e ki e, kia ora tātou.
Well, fantastic, and these seats are here to remind us on a daily basis just how far we've come. And to paraphrase a well-known speech throughout the world, this is one giant step for trans and one super, super leap for trans kind. Thank you all for being here this afternoon. That finishes our formal opening of the benches, and you're more than warmly welcome to join us back at S&M's, have a couple of drinks and swap some fabulous stories. Thank you all for being here. And thank you for the mayor. And where is he? The fabulous Grant Robinson over here. All our guest speakers, fantastic job. Thank you all very much.